Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 8th of December, recording at 9:27 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. As stock markets were on the defensive, there was some light selling in Asia, mostly under 1%. A little bit more selling in Europe, it's sort of averaging about 1.5%. And Wall Street continued in the same theme, closed down averaging about 1% for the S&P and the Dow, a little less for the NASDAQ. Elsewhere, bond prices were a little bit steadier against this background. The dollar was strong again today, and precious metals, after an early rally, that was reversed by mid-morning, about 10 o'clock, and precious metals just started to weaken, and weakened quite significantly. Gold, as I speak, is at 1129. That's down almost $29. And silver fell below the $18 level, last at 1761. And platinum had been up for most of the day, but then closed down 30 at 1414. Industrial metals, interestingly, were firmer except for copper, which had a small decline and was well off the high for the day. And that's the main activity. There was a little bit of selling. Soft commodities were softer more often than not, and crude oil down to 72.57, so that's one down off 136 on the day. Okay, and the yen is firmer in here today. That's the only currency that I can see that the dollar fell back against. All right, so what's going on here overall? Well, as far as stock markets is concerned, clearly we are still in that corrective phase that Owen and I have mentioned every single day in these broadcasts for must be the last couple of months. Now, so we're still in that corrective phase. At most of the leading stock markets have been remarkably steady during this process. For instance, Wall Street and most of the continental European stock markets and the UK stock market, they've all been looking at their highs, albeit within ranging patterns, but have been right up, just nudging up against their highs and occasionally moving fractionally to new highs for this overall recovery. The Central and South American stock markets have been very, very firm. The leading Asian stock markets, such as Indonesia, Singapore, and China's A shares, which had seen their mean reversion correction earlier on, have all been very, very steady in here. But the upward momentum overall has been lost. So they've been holding steady near the highs. And for the most part, if you look at daily charts, all the U.S. indices, most of the European indices, they have these unbroken progressions of higher reaction lows. So they would go in the latter stages of the rise, they would move slightly to a new recovery high, then get a small pullback, but have a higher low, and then again push to another new high, but no real follow-through on the upside. And the overall picture that you see there is of rallies losing upside momentum as supply and demand came more into balance. Now, against that background, there is a risk that something spooks markets, confidence wanes, and you get a sharper reaction. And I have to say that the surprise, I think, for Owen and myself is that stock markets have really remained as steady as they have during this mean reversion correction process to date. I find that easy to explain why that's been the case, because we've had this massive monetary reflation, including the quantitative easing, interest rates staying very, very low. This is a type of environment that in which historically equity markets have done really quite well. But nevertheless, it's surprising that more of the better stock markets have not seen mean reversion corrections the way the Chinese A shares did. Now, some of the classic laggards and also economically troubled, particularly economically troubled markets have underperformed. I mentioned before some of the Balkan countries and a few of the other weaker Eastern European economies. Their stock markets have underperformed. Japan has underperformed, although it had a bounce recently, maybe tested tomorrow, given this rebound of the yen. What else? With the Middle East, the Dubai situation, those markets have underperformed, the African markets for the most part. And those are all classic laggards for the most part, and including in the last cycle, they were laggards a few years ago. So overall, though, as I say, that Wall Street, China, and most of the other major markets have been remarkably steady. But since we're still in an overall corrective phase, there is a risk that we do see a little bit further, a little bit further easing here before we get any meaningful extensions to the overall upward trends. Now, that doesn't have to happen. In other words, we could just see markets ranging sideways. And my hunch is that when it's all said and done, we look back on this period, let's say 6 months from now, my feeling is that markets will be higher, having done well in the first quarter of the year and perhaps the first half of the year, and that we will see that some of them just stayed remarkably steady and saw sideways partial mean reversions towards their rising 200-day moving averages, which are, of course, trend smoothing devices which represent the medium-term trend mean in our opinion. And we'll see some other stock markets which broke ranks and were weaker, and those are the two extremes, and we'll see some that just sort of bounced around in a little more active fashion, so saw sideways to somewhat lower ranging phase in their mean reversion. For certain, I don't expect the accommodative monetary conditions to change significantly here in the short to medium term, and so the environment should remain favorable overall. Well, moving on to the long-dated government bonds, I do feel to be, and I'll be purposefully melodramatic here, I do feel they are a future train wreck. But what is preventing that to happen? Well, there are two factors that are preventing that from happening. The big one is the quantitative easing by governments, and where the UK government is hoovering up gilts, and the US government, for example, is hoovering up the treasury issues. It's all part of recapitalizing the banking sector, and therefore they are preventing, they are just borrowing more and then buying their own paper with this stuff to prevent long-dated interest rates from rising. Now, once that ends, I can only see one scenario where we would see yields stay at these low levels on, say, 10-year bonds, and I'm talking about the governments now, the only scenario I could see where yields would maintain these levels would be, or a little go lower, would be if we really were in a sort of a Japanese-style liquidity trap, and we were going to see minimal growth and deflation overall for quite some time. But of course, all the quantitative easing, which has been massive and global, is designed to prevent just that outcome. So I rate the deflationary long slide, Japanese style, as if I flatter that script, flatter that scenario, I rate that as no more than a 30% possibility. When I say flatter it, in other words, it's likely to be much less. And I think that the outcome is much more likely to be one of higher interest rates and inflationary pressures down the road in response to all this money creation. I'm sure that's what Milton Friedman were saying, and I hope, Milton, you don't feel I'm taking your name in vain at wherever you are. But I think that this is a classic situation that he would identify for creating inflation over the longer term, but not in the short term. So there we are. We don't have those inflationary problems right now. The crude oil price, which I mention almost daily in this context, is not spiking higher. And there are reasons to hope that I've articulated in yesterday's audio and have written about here today for us to hope that crude oil will not spike higher. Gold has been strong, but it's hardly a mania. It's been a good overall upward trend. But gold has now given up $100, I think more like $102 to be precise. So this is the biggest reaction that we've seen in a few months. And it's come down quickly with that big drop on Friday, and then additionally on Monday and today. So that may unnerve some people, but gold has retraced about half of its last move upwards, which is quite strong. And it also is not all that far away from the 1100 level, which some people may have targeted. It's certainly weighed on my hopes that we might have actually seen the reaction low yesterday or be close to it, although it hasn't gone very much below yesterday's low. But we do need to see something either in the form of an upward dynamic or at least a loss of downside momentum in here to signal that demand is returning once again. I think we probably will see it, but the point is that we haven't seen it certainly in the last 3 days. And silver has eroded a little bit of support in here today because it couldn't hold the $18 level. And mind you, that's just the beginning of the overall support, and the overall upward trends are not being threatened here. The tricky bit for someone like myself, who got out of the markets and then started to come back in, and came back in too early on Monday, is that when you're buying on a setback, it's really like catch a falling knife territory if you get a sharp bout of profit taking. And I don't want to put myself under margin pressure by being aggressive, and I haven't been at all aggressive here. But in terms of my strategy, I think I'm still a nibbler on weakness, but I'm not hoovering these things up at this time because I just don't want to put myself under any pressure. Now, I'll risk a little of my earlier profits, but not the ranch, as they say. What else to mention here? The currency, the dollar. We had seen the dollar show some earlier loss of downside momentum as it had come back to the top of that small base formation that formed between March and the end of July of last year. So that was a region, and mentioned as a region for some steadying. And the dollar has been quite strong in the last 3 days, weighing on precious metals in the process. And with currencies, we know that a lot of people were short the dollar. You could see that from the trend and the talk. Here also, we need to see a downward dynamic, or at least some sort of tail. In other words, where it rallies strongly, but then that rally fades away before the closes in the U.S. markets. And we need to see that type of action to indicate that selling pressure is being encountered once again, and that hasn't happened yet. So again, this new situation of having the weaker precious metals and some weakening in the currencies against the dollar, in other words, strengthening of the dollar, that's still with us, and I'll want to see. I'm looking for some sort of, or waiting for some sort of technical signal that would enable us to call an end to these short-term moves. I do think that they are only short-term, but I'll feel more relaxed about it when I see the evidence. And I think that's pretty much it. Don't be surprised if we see a little more volatility here tomorrow as well. Meanwhile, all the best.